My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber.
Birds.
Sully. Birds.
Birds.
Birds, Sully.
Birds.
Sully.
We didn't watch the birds. This is not a retro episode.
No. Birds.
And we did not watch Monster Inc. with Sully.
Sully.
Birds.
Birds. Yeah. That happened. We saw it. We saw Sully. The dramatic story of the time that guy landed a plane on the river. And if you're wondering what else happens, not much, but we'll tell you why you don't need to buy a ticket for this one this week on You Can't Handle
so mean.
The Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, September 9th, 2016. Let's get that Lou Stein drinking game going.
Yeah, that's right.
Our friend Louis Stein is a great photographer.
Great improviser.
He has been part of the improv scene
since its beginning.
Since he was the only one who knew what improv was.
Since Jesus was improvising.
What's the name of the thing that predates everything? You know what I'm talking about.
FNI?
No, before
Friday
that.
Friday Night Improv? Susquehanna Hat Company.
The Susquehanna Hat Company.
Yeah.
Which is to modern improv in Pittsburgh what Jesus is to Christians.
It's kind of like the No Name Players of Pittsburgh.
The No Name Players is a theater company in Pittsburgh. You mean the for primetime players?
Not ready for primetime players. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
But the No Name Players, they're great. They do good stuff too.
As soon as I said that, I was like, wait a second.
They do that Sister Sorella web series.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good. It's funny.
I'm an idiot.
It's funny.
Yeah, they're great.
You know
what I'm talking about.
Look them up on YouTube. Lou... and takes great pictures. If you go to my Facebook or Aaron's Facebook, you're going to see a lot of pictures of us taken by Louis Stein.
Yeah, the picture with my son on my shoulders. That's Louis Stein.
Yeah. And he pulled me aside Sunday night and then repeated it to Aaron Monday and said, hey, I have the You Can't Handle the Truth drinking game. Here it is.
I was excited. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
What do we say every four? Go ahead.
We say, well, Interstellar. But that's that you do it. You
Interstellar.
Finish your beer when we say Interstellar.
No, Interstellar, you drink a whole bottle of Fireball.
Right. And Stranger Things. And what else? What do we hit every damn week? Interstellar, Stranger Things. And no, the drinking game is... take a shot of beer when the podcast begins, and then take a shot of beer for every minute before we actually talk about the movie we're talking about.
Right.
I'm like, oh, yes. Good note.
Right.
Good note. Because sometimes it takes a while.
That wasn't as much as drinking gang is a really side swipe of an insult.
Yeah. It's a little burn on our style.
Okay. That's okay.
No. Hey.
I get it.
Well, here, let's
we go for quite a while also forgetting what we just saw.
Right. Particularly when it's Sully. Okay, see, you're not getting drunk this week because I'm about to go in.
Let me just start with the title.
Birds.
Birds. That's Sully.
Sully.
Like, it's this dude's nickname.
The name of this movie was supposed to... It's Miracle on the Hudson. That's what it's called. It's
okay,
called Miracle.
But
that's
also,
what you're. That's what you got to name
what
the movie.
What was Sully's book's name? Remember, they put...
Highest duty or something like that.
The highest duty or something.
Yeah, keep talking and I'll give you the
actual
name.
On, right?
Yeah.
Sully?
Yeah, Sully.
Sully?
Hey, it's Sully. It's Sully, everybody.
That sounds like a knockoff of Ted. The movie Ted.
Right.
Like, Sully is, like, also a stuffed creature. Like, what? Or it's like, it's kind of like, it feels like it's like a movie based on a Bill Brasky type character.
Highest Duty, My Search for What Really Matters by Chesley Sullenberger. That's the name of the book.
Yeah.
But you called it Sully. I'm trying to think of a single first name movie that's serious.
Yeah, but
like Annie, Ted,
Evita.
Okay,
see, I'm trying to help. Is this a new Doug Loves Movies game?
Yeah.
serious one title.
One, but it's got to be a first name. I'm not counting. I'm not counting Lincoln.
I only have Evita.
You're not counting
Lincoln?
That's his last name. That's different. That's a different category.
I'm not counting
JFK. One first name, and that's a nick. And it's a nickname.
J. Edgar.
Also directed by
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And he didn't even include the interesting parts about J. Edgar in that.
No. All right. Look, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Disclaimer.
208 seconds. Go ahead.
The Sully himself, hero.
Great guy.
Wonderful. I know there's a lot of good pilots in the world. I'm sure there's very, very few people that could have done that.
Oh, it's amazing.
He did the exact right thing. Courageous, professional, perfect. Yeah. Absolutely perfect. He was the only guy in the world to be in that situation.
It's amazing.
Nothing but admiration for what happened.
Yeah.
Not a movie.
No.
Not at all.
Not a movie.
Because the only interesting part of this story...
208 seconds.
Maybe you stretch it to when the plane takes off. And admittedly, you know, they tailed it with a little bit of the rescue. The ferry boat's coming and getting them.
Yeah.
Sure. At most.
Oh, by the way, there's no spoiler alerts here. If you don't know this story,
yeah, you would have to be...
A plane landed in the Hudson, and then they got the people off.
Everybody survived.
Yeah, that's it.
They had no engines. He just was like, I'm going to land it there.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, which is... That, now, look, again, that, in and of itself, dramatic. No matter how much you stretch that out...
Crazy.
You got about 30, 35 minutes of movie there.
Like, hey, look, I'm on a lot of planes... And that's when you're in that moment of them landing the plane on the Hudson. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is wild to live through that.
Then you got to fill the rest of a movie.
Nope.
And barely made it. This movie is 91 minutes with credits that were about 8 minutes. So you're talking 83, 84.
That were documentary press photos.
Yes. So, to try and force it into a movie, they make, and look, maybe,
I can only imagine that someone like Clint Eastwood, I mean, he likes interesting American characters.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I can only imagine he's like, oh, we got to tell this guy's story.
Yeah.
I got to tell this guy's story. Amazing human being. There's a big difference between... The story of American Sniper.
Right.
And this one time, 208 second.
They keep hitting that. That it's really about 208 seconds.
No, from takeoff to landing. Isn't that what they said?
No, that's from the birds hitting to the landing.
Oh, okay.
Because they had gone a couple of miles.
Yeah, I mean, they just took off.
Right. So that's 3 minutes and 28 seconds. No matter what you do, can you milk that into half an hour of a dramatic film? Yeah. After that, so what they do, and I don't believe this is what happened. I don't believe this either. What they do is they kind of pit him against some investigators played by Mike O'Malley.
Yeah, and this guy in this movie has some serious global guts.
Yes, he does.
He's the dick.
He is the aggro crag of the aviation industry.
He's the Peck character from Die Hard.
He's trying to prove that landing on the Hudson was the most dangerous choice, and they easily could have gotten back. Yeah, they could have gotten back to LaGuardia. They could have gotten back to one of two runways in New Jersey that Sully screwed up.
Right.
And I don't believe that. Maybe I don't believe that's
like. We're not spoiling anything. Right. I mean, really. But they were like pissed. They were like, "Oh, we're gonna get you."
It was the ending hour of Flight. Remember Flight with Denzel
absolutely.
Washington?
Absolutely. Thank you. That was a thought. I was just gonna say they really tried making this Flight. I didn't think Flight was. It was okay.
Yeah, that was okay.
It was okay.
Too long to...
Yeah, okay, we get it.
Right.
You know, but this just didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah, it's... They really...
Flight was like, was he drunk? I don't know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sully's like, I did one of the most amazing things in aviation history. And they're like, this guy's an asshole.
And we know, even if you might fool people into thinking, that's the thing. I don't believe for a minute that after this, in the 2 weeks after the crash, there was a Mike O'Malley getting in Chesley Sullenberger's face, like, what, were you drinking? Huh?
Yeah, I know.
I think that someone was like, hey, look, you're a hero. We all love you. I have to ask you all these questions.
We have some boxes we need to check.
We got to go through the motions.
There's
but,
insurance.
Right.
Someone's paying for the plane.
Look, everyone loves you, you know?
This is amazing.
I don't believe that, you know, a lot of this is about, you know, he's calling back home to his wife, Laura Linney, like, I don't know, I might get fired. I don't believe for a minute there was a moment where they were like, we might got to get rid of this guy who just landed on the damn river.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
never
now,
happened.
They're saying, like, it's based on his book. You know, is this stuff in his book? Like, it was this.
I don't know.
Maybe they are dicks.
What I mean,
if they are? If they are, then oh my God.
But even at that, you know that this doesn't end with Sully in disgrace because we're living in the world where he's on billboards and he's on every show and he writes books and he's an American hero. We know this about him. So we know the movie's not going to end with, like, Sully, you're guilty. Like, that's never going to be the ending. That's why the 30 minutes, you know, around the crash, which, just to get it to the runtime, we go through twice.
Oh, wait.
By the way,
Sean broke this down and it made me laugh hard. We go through the actual crash point of view twice.
I mean, I don't mean like the 208 seconds. Like, there's 30 minutes spent on the crash, and then we do another 15 minutes on it later with a few different camera angles,
right?
But a lot of the same ones.
More audio. Then
two long sequences where Sully is either having a dream or a vision about it going wrong.
Okay, that's four.
Three real-time simulations of different flight possibilities.
That's seven.
And what else? Sully landing a jet when he was in the Air Force.
But we watched the same 208 seconds.
Yeah,
seven times.
Because they don't have enough movie to get to even an hour and a half.
I mean, real time.
How long are Clint Eastwood? He doesn't do much that's under 2 hours.
No.
So if this is only 90 minutes, that means that at some point in production they were like, "Fuck, dude, we don't even have. We got nothing. Can we write in some backstory on a few of the passengers? Because that happened."
Oh.
Not even really, just like,
well,
here's a scene of the woman and her grandma shopping for souvenirs. It's just...
I mean, dude, there was some stuff that it was like a cheesy... A cheesy U.S. Air infomercial. I mean, like, one of those ones that they make you watch on the back of your seat.
What was the airline again?
It was U.S. Airways.
It was U.S. Air.
Yeah.
This also, you said a couple of times, this is also, like, a paid advertisement for U.S. Air Marriott.
They're so damn excited.
Everywhere they go, there's a Marriott. Every time they go to the Marriott, it's a money shot of the sign.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple of scenes that are about Marriott people being nice to Sully.
Oh, it's straight up Marriott, like, concierge.
Yes.
Like, being amazing.
Yeah. Aaron Eckhart, who was really good, by the way. He's one of the highlights.
Yeah.
Did a 4-minute scene literally wearing a Marriott robe.
A courtyard Marriott robe.
With a big, like, it's not even like the logo that would actually be on there. It's like one of those polo golf shirts where, like, the guy on the horse is stupid big.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can wear it to the frat party.
Yeah.
I
mean, I got to go back to them introducing the characters.
Yeah.
Like, on the plane.
They had nothing to do.
Oh, these brothers are
got to take the old man on a golf trip.
Late to a golf trip. And then...
Oh, jeez.
And then they threw in a baby. But when it actually crashed, they were more concerned about these grown sons finding their dad than the fucking baby.
Yeah, the baby kind of got left in the dust.
I was like, where's the damn... I'm like, where's the baby?
Yeah.
It's freezing cold water. Where's the baby?
And this... a couple of things that actually got under my skin. And then we're not going to say much more because it's Sully.
Sully has his own IMDb profile, sure, by the way.
Birds.
Birds.
If you ever see the movie, you'll know why we're saying birds. I don't want to explain it because then I want people to start chuckling if they see this movie thinking of us saying birds.
This dude wrote no good movies.
A couple of things that did bother me.
Oh.
This is like a 9/11 exploitation thing a little bit, right?
Dude, really? Like,
there's in these, I mentioned in a minute ago, hey, there's these scenes where he
remember
pictures,
last time there were planes in New York?
Yeah, that's an actual line.
Oh, God.
There's these scenes where Sully imagines it going wrong when the plane hits Manhattan. And it's like,
yeah,
it's you're adding false drama to your movie by just rubbing it in, like, think about what could have happened, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that? It's like, remember what happened?
Which is, look, I know that you hit the notes that you got to hit. I know that there are movies about 9/11.
But this one's not about 9/11.
This is not about 9/11. This is like exploiting our memory of 9/11 right on the damn anniversary. Wait just a goddamn minute.
No.
This is coming out 2 days before the 15th anniversary.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The 15th anniversary of 9/11 is Sunday.
Oh.
And this is coming out today? Fuck these guys. I'm out.
It's so ridiculous. Dude, I
didn't make that connection until right now, and holy shit.
I mean, they could have released it in March.
Exactly. People are going to be like, let's just go to a movie this weekend. It's Sunday afternoon. What do you want to see? And they're going to go, and they're going to get 9/11 rubbed in their face on the 15th anniversary
of
9/11.
Maybe that was their plan, because they're sitting there watching the news going over and over and over again about the 50th anniversary, and then they go see Sully, and they go, he prevented 9/12, or what? 9/11 part 2. I don't know what they're thinking.
Off. That really pisses me off.
There's really no correlation besides a plane and New York.
Yeah.
There's not even...
I apologize for his name, that Yankees pitcher. You know what I'm talking about. This guy was a pitcher for the Yankees, and he was a small plane pilot. He liked to fly, and he lost control, and he crashed in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hit a building. And... you know, a lot of people went, you know, well, 9/11, and that's yeah, you make that connection because it's New York and it's a plane crash,
sure,
but that's the end of it,
right?
And now that this is dawning on me, that this movie really like rubs it in your face, like, think about what could have happened, and it's coming out on 9/9.
And what's really ridiculous, it's like, it wasn't hijacked.
No,
it was birds.
Yeah,
birds.
Birds.
And it has nothing to do with terrorism.
No,
hijacking.
No,
nothing.
Mm-mm.
Oh man.
And I got to move on for that because I'm actually pissed off now. But this was the other thing. To me, and I was like, I bet they don't deal with this. The other interesting thing about Sully, the person, is that in the months following this, he went before Congress.
Yeah.
Not to talk about safety, not to talk about heroism, but to say, hey, we should probably take better care of pilots, because pilots are paid nothing. And because they're paid nothing, you're going to have very few people with my experience in the air in the future. And people are not going to be trained to deal with situations as they arise.
Right.
There are pilots. You can be a full-time pilot on food stamps. That's how little some commercial...
I did not know that.
Or rather, passenger airline...
That can't be true.
No, because this was in one of the Michael Moore movies. I forget if it was Fahrenheit 9/11 or Capitalism, A Love Story. Sully testifying to Congress about this.
And then
interviewed a pilot who said, yeah, my family's on food stamps. Who was a full-time for one of the major airlines. And Clint Eastwood not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't fit his politics.
Right.
And what Sully wants people to know is we need to make sure we're putting lives in people's hands. We need to take better care of our pilots. And when he gets a movie made about him, that's not in there.
Right.
I don't like this film.
Yeah. I said, this is one of those kind of feel good movies to some people, where this is the Red Hat Lady Club is going to go see this at noon on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm never crazy about these real life story movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'd prefer to watch it. Like, you know, there's so many great documentaries on Netflix. Netflix, you can sponsor Handle the Truth.
Go ahead.
But, you know, there's these, you know, great documentaries. The 30 for 30s are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I would have rather watched in, like, that kind of, like, kind of docu.
Yes.
Super edit. You know, I like that stuff.
But that's not going to make the money, right?
But there's a lot of these movies that are like, remember this real life event, now we're dramatizing it. And it's never that great.
No.
I've never been really, really into a real life event movie.
Mm-hmm.
What ones, am I missing one that's like really good?
Hit us up on Twitter at Truth Podcast with the true stories that really worked.
Let me take out anything military or 9/11.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because
sure.
American Sniper is a good movie.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's dropping a little bit with some.
I get it.
With distance,
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what I mean? I mean, there are, of course, there are, you know, Flags of Our Fathers. You know, Clint Eastwood's other movies. I mean, sure, military war. But other than that, it's like what they have the 33. What was that the oil rig, the miners or whatever, and then.
Yeah, something like that.
The Chilean miners.
Yeah, with the Chilean miners. And we're going to have Deepwater Horizon here in a few weeks.
Mark Wahlberg.
Lone Survivor was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wahlberg. But no, I'm with
you. Oh, what the Franco one? 128 Hours?
Yeah, that was okay. But that's
another thing I thought of. Wow, this one little incident, they are really...
Stretching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, how did he survive? That's all I want to know. I don't care when he went rafting with his girlfriend and they had this moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Well, all right. Yeah, we're probably not going to be rating this one very highly. But, hey, that thing that derailed the podcast last week, I'm turning it into a real segment, an extra butter. But first, here's Aaron to tell you about... how you can save some money when you're traveling for your creative endeavor.
Yeah, dude, you got to go to Ignite Hospitality Services. If you are a comedian, an entertainer, you're in a band, you're a magician, whatever you do, Ignite Hospitality Services, they hook you up with really good hotel prices. And really, all it is barter. It's called a social media barter. And you basically give a shout out to the Courtyard Marriott.
Yeah.
It hasn't got enough today. But that's exactly what you do. You really give some reviews and TripAdvisor and Yelp and give a shout out on Twitter. And they barter a hotel for you very cheap. And my friend Adam at Ignite Hospitality Services will hook you up. So check that out. You can Facebook them. Look them up. You'll find them very easily. And you'll save some money. And also... quick shout out to our producers, Epicast.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to give a shout out to Epicast. If you guys, if anybody out there thinks that they would like to do a podcast, if you have any need for, you know, sound, photography, video for any live events, if you need an audio video studio.
Sure.
Epicast has this, has an amazing studio. They can record voiceover. They can record bands, live events. They do event planning. They throw huge comedy shows. So check out Epicast. If you want to hear more, you can obviously find them through us, epicast.tv. And it's good. It's these guys, we wouldn't be anything without them.
Definitely. And speaking of them, got a lot of other good podcasts too. So we'll be back right after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be beer fueled comedy podcast, but.
Craft Fuel Beer Potter. Craft Beer Fuel Pot. Motherfucker. All right. Man. I'm going to have to write that down.
What up?
Craft Fuel
Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel.
Craft Brew Fuel Podcast. Okay. Craft Brew Fuel. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. All right, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on.
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew. Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
Welcome, Bitbirds.
Birds.
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 Do you want to know what the passengers got? I just found this on Wikipedia.
Oh.
Passengers received a letter of apology. That's nice.
Hmm.
$5,000 in compensation for lost baggage.
Oh, wow.
$5,000 more if they could demonstrate that they had lost more than $5,000 worth of stuff. A refund of the ticket price. You better hope.
That's nice.
And beginning in May 2009, passengers began to receive baggage and belongings, like after they found it. That's 5 months later. 4 months later. In addition, passengers reported they were offered $10,000 each not to sue.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which, at first, I was like, is that it? And then I thought, yeah, I'd probably take it. Because, are you going to win?
So what,
are you going to pay a lawyer?
$15,000, $20,000?
$15,000, $20,000 bucks. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd pay off the car.
U.S. Air did their job.
Yeah.
Because you could say that they hit birds.
Right.
And U.S. Air and their pilot landed you safely.
Right. Right.
Which is why they're all over this movie.
Right.
Which is like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Put us all over this thing.
Yeah.
They were super excited.
Yeah.
They're like, hell yeah, we landed that.
Yeah.
We have the best pilot in the world.
Right. I'd take $15,000 and, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You still charge for a second bag, you son of a bitches. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Two bags. They charge for the first bag.
Yeah.
They didn't get me started.
I would have probably been like, how about them frequent flyer miles, though? Is that...
I want 1,000,000 points.
Can we get that up a little bit?
Dude.
I got a little soggy.
I'm going to say it right here.
Some frosty water.
Southwest for life.
Yeah.
I'm saying it. Southwest for life.
All right.
I'm Southwest for life, bro. Hey, Sean, what do you got going on this weekend and next weekend?
Well, I will let you take the lead because I'm pumped about Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing some things.
Dude, I'm going to be back at Hilarities in Cleveland, Ohio. If anybody is near Cleveland or if you know any friends in Cleveland, please shout this out. I'm headlining Wednesday and Thursday at Hilarities in Cleveland, Ohio, featuring Sean Collier.
That's right.
Isn't that nice?
Uh-huh.
And then Friday and Saturday, I'm featuring for Tom Arnold. And then Sunday... September 18th, we will have our first stand-up get-down, stand-up comedy game show in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh versus Cleveland comedians.
First road show.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Myself and Jason Clark will be hosting the stand-up get-down at Hilarities, and Sean Collier and Ed Bailey and Shannon Norman will be representing Pittsburgh. They'll be taking on three awesome Cleveland comedians. Mm-hmm. It'll be a good time. And so, yeah, please tell everybody from Cleveland that you're there. But this weekend, if you're listening today, there's an awesome show tonight at Arcade Comedy Theater at 10 p.m., the Out of Order show. A lot of young comics out of, University of Pittsburgh. Also closing the show, Andy Picaro. That's a lot of fun. I might be there. I might be hosting. I have no idea what I'm doing there. But then... this Saturday, if you're listening this weekend, Saturday, September 10th at 10 p.m., the very first stand-up get-down, stand-up comedy game show at Arcade Comedy Theater.
The debut.
Yeah.
The premiere.
Good time. And then we're on the road the very next week.
Yes.
It's good times.
Yeah, I'm pumped about Cleveland. At the beginning of 2016, I said, I want to perform in two cities that I have not performed in this year. And for a while, it looked like that was going to be Morgantown, West Virginia, and Jamestown, New York. Not that I don't, happy to be both of those places.
No, I understand.
But since then, I added... well, Manhattan, that was good, and now Cleveland. So I feel pretty. I haven't performed at Cleveland before. Very pumped.
And
to be
Cleveland
doing it.
Is honestly Cleveland Hilarities is one of my favorite clubs. It's an amazing club. It's really awesome. But also at the end of the month, September 29th through October 2nd, I will be at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh with John Witherspoon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Heading to Raleigh.
Yeah, dude.
Probably still be pretty hot down there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then I'm coming back to Buffalo the first week of October.
Okay.
7 and 8. Yeah.
Here's extra butter.
Okay.
Last week, you may remember.
People liked this.
We just started talking about previous years.
A bunch of our friends made fun of us, but then they kind of liked it.
So here's the segment I'm going to turn it to.
They making fun of Sean, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, that's okay. We started the show in 2013. So I say week by week, we go back 1 year at a time and go over some lists.
Yeah.
See which one of us has seen more. It's going to be you. And just kind of hit birds. And
Have you ever seen The Birds?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, that's good.
And kind of hit, you know, the highlights and see what we can talk about from these previous years. So I'm going to do the IMDb top 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the top grossing films and best picture nominees, right?
Sure.
From each year. And so we're going to talk about this week by week. If you like it, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know, and I'll stop doing it. How about
okay.
that? All right. So we're starting in 2012. 2012, everybody. Now, the IMDb top 10 for a given year is a little funky. It is some like math of what the rating is combined with how many votes it has.
It's sure.
It's popularity, not necessarily the rating. But the IMDb top 10 from 2012, we'll go 10 to 1. Nah, it's not really a countdown. I'm just going to go down the list. What did you think of The Dark Knight Rises?
No, wait. What do you want me to say?
We're just giving our thoughts on the year in cinema. So Dark Knight Rises came out in 2012. That it was not The Dark Knight, but I enjoyed it.
This is Joker. No,
this is Bane.
The third one.
This is Bane.
Oh, I did not like it at all.
Oh, really?
No, I thought it was really cheesy. Mm-hmm. I thought that Christopher Nolan really threw this together.
Oh, you thought it was here, wrap it up.
Yeah, dude. I really thought the story was not well thought out compared to some of the things that he's written, like mm-hmm. Interstellar, drink that bottle of Fireball.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it was kind of messy. The whole every single cop ran into the bowels of the city. It's like
yeah.
It's so dumb. And then him like getting back out of jail, and it was so dumb.
Catwoman thing didn't really all add
no,
up.
No, it was not good. Bane was really corny.
I liked Bane. I liked Bane a lot.
He was okay, but dude, I mean, Doug Benson always reminds us of just ridiculous, let the games begin.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb.
There's some great sequence. The stadium thing is great.
It's okay.
There's some great action.
I like Batman a lot. He's probably my favorite superhero.
I'm a big Batman fan.
And to be honest, I don't like how they put in something that we complain about a lot. They put in this huge event.
Yeah.
The fact that they put in like a huge professional football disaster in a Batman movie kind of irked me.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Hmm.
I mean, sure, you put a bomb on a bus with kids, or you know, you put a bomb on a ferry, sure, okay.
Yeah,
you blow up a hospital, okay. Well, come on, dude, like a whole football stadium and it erupts like San Andreas. Come on, it's just, of course, you know, we're from Pittsburgh and we're like, oh,
it was made here.
There's Heinz Ward, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. The mayor's playing a kicker,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah,
I wasn't crazy about it.
I mean, I will say for all the people talk about the Nolan trilogy, you're really just talking about Dark Knight. Batman Begins is not
It's not as good as you remember.
No, it definitely is not.
Yeah, it's not fine. As good as you remember.
It's all right.
Yeah.
So that was 2012. Django Unchained was in 2012.
I still very much like that.
Yeah, that was really good. Not
really
much more
like
I can say. That was very, very well done.
I love the soundtrack.
That soundtrack is phenomenal.
Is still on my Spotify playlist of good soundtracks that I love listening to.
And I know it got a little wacky. I mean, that was with the violence, but
whatever.
You know,
Kill
that's
Bill
what he
style.
Does. Yeah, Kill Bill style.
I'm fine with it.
I've talked about this before. That was his revenge period.
I love the Wild West.
Kill Bill, Death Proof, Inglorious Bastards, and
Leonardo
Django
DiCaprio
Unchained.
Is incredible in it. Jamie Foxx is incredible in it.
Great performances.
Yeah.
The first Avengers was in 2012. This was a busy year.
Really?
I remember that. I remember liking that a good bit.
I did.
That's when I really bought
it. I did
in.
Very much like yeah. it.
Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Twilight no, ended in 2012.
I don't even know.
Snow White and the Huntsman is on this list for some reason. That was garbage.
Didn't even see that.
Prometheus. I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
No, I skipped it somehow.
It had some really great parts. I was really looking forward to it. But there was a lot of stuff you were like, what? Why? Yeah. Why is this happening? But they're making a second one.
That's what I heard. I guess I'll have to go back.
Yeah.
Skyfall was in 2012.
You know, look, I was a huge James Bond fan growing up, and until they got some dude who was blonde and muscular and not that great looking and 4'11", I have not been interested in James Bond. That's all I got to say.
Well, Casino Royale is great. Casino Royale is probably my favorite James Bond movie, period.
That's crazy. You need to watch more James Bond movies.
It's really good. That's like, that's my Shawshank, I swear to God. That's the thing where if it's on TV, I will watch it for the next 2 hours.
The Spy Who Loved Me is really good. GoldenEye is really good.
GoldenEye is very good.
Dr. No is awesome. Even From Russia With Love is good. And the one James Bond film by George Lazenby.
Right.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service is actually really good.
I believe you. I just I thought cast is great. Eva Green is perfect. Mads Mikkelsen is awesome.
Yeah.
I really like. Well, no,
Casino Royale is the one I like the most out of Daniel Craig.
We'll talk about that when we get to 2006. Skyfall was the one everyone was like, "Oh, I thought this is okay.
Whatevs.
It was better than whatever the hell happened last year. I can't even remember the name now.
I know
Spectre.
I just watched it.
Yeah. It's better than Spectre.
Yeah, no.
The first Hunger Games was 2012.
Yeah, you make me watch those.
The first Hobbit was
the first Hunger Game. The ones on that beach or whatever. They were on like an island or something.
No, that's the second one.
See,
the second
know.
One's the best one. The first one was like Gary Ross directed it. It had like stupid amount of shaky camera. Like
That's right.
The first Hobbit. Man, did I hate those Hobbit movies.
Oh, God. That was 2012. I couldn't sit through any of them.
Perks of Being a Wallflower was 2012. That was really good.
Yeah, that was really good. Filmed in Pittsburgh.
Another Pittsburgh movie. Yeah. And part of three of those in Pittsburgh, because part of Avengers was filmed here.
Yeah, that's right. And Cleveland, too.
How many? I have 9 of those 10. How many did you have?
Oh, I don't remember.
Perks of Being a Wallflower,
yeah.
Hobbit 1, no. Hunger Games 1,
yeah.
Skyfall, Prometheus,
yeah.
Snow White and the Huntsman,
no.
Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 2, Avengers, Django, Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, I lost 2.
So I beat you 9-8 on that one.
Wow.
And the top grossing was most of those. Avengers was the top of the list, $623 million, followed by Dark Knight Rises, Hunger Games.
You went with modern movies. You got to watch all of them.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why we're going back here. We're going to hit 1982, and I'm going to have nothing to say anymore.
Oh, Hunger, I farted. It's so bad, dude.
All right, great. Skyfall, Hobbit, Twilight. This is the top. Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield was that year. That was bad.
Yeah, I didn't like that was bad. Very much.
Brave was in 2012.
That's a great movie. Watched it a lot with
my
kids.
It was good.
I liked it.
That's one of my least favorite Pixar movies.
Least?
That'd be in my bottom two or three Pixar movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just didn't add up to much, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bear. It's a friendly, silly bear.
It was fun.
And she's got a lot of hair.
I enjoy those a lot more when I watch them with my kids.
Ted was in the top 10 grossing films of 2012.
Of course it was.
$218 million. It was funny.
Yeah.
Ted 2 is the one that was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, look, I've said from when they advertised it, when they started showing the trailer, to when I saw it, to after I saw it, I was like, we get it. The bear swears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Number 10 was Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted.
I've seen that.
So then I think we're tied because I haven't seen that one. I've seen the other 9.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
and
my kids watch them.
Bouncing over to some of the Oscar picks from 2012. That's when Argo won. I liked Argo.
That was good.
I think it was my number one movie. There wasn't a great.
There's a true story that was pretty entertaining.
That was pretty good.
But I mean, that story is unbelievable.
You know, that's the difference. When it's a story that you don't already know, it might be good.
Well, also
when it's something that you already that was in the news forever in the modern news cycle, that's trickier.
Well, but also this is something that it's a story that takes place over time that has a beginning, middle, and end.
Yes.
You know, I mean it's an actual real life thing that you could just make as a movie because it's like a movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that had that actually had a narrative to it. When you're turning something real into a movie, like, picture yourself telling the story.
Right.
And if you can do it in 2 or 3 minutes, it's not a movie. It's got to be like, we're sitting around with drinks at the bar, and it's going to take me 10 minutes to get through telling you what happened. Like, with Sully, that's like...
We hit birds.
And he turned the plane around, couldn't make it back.
We landed.
He landed on the river, and he got it done. Everyone was all right. They got everybody out. That's
not a story.
You don't have a movie there.
It's amazing.
That's an incident.
Not a movie.
That's, yeah.
An incident.
Argo an beat. There's two movies here that I didn't see. I didn't see Amour. Michael Haneke, French.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
And I know people are going to be nuts over this. I didn't see Beasts of the Southern Wild, which people loved.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you see that?
It was good.
Okay.
That little girl was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quavon Janae Wallace.
Yeah, whatever.
Went on to be Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, people my friend Randy Bauman, the host of the DV Morning Show, thought that was one of the best movies he'd seen in years.
He's also loves that area.
Yeah, that's a cultural thing to a degree.
Yeah.
And I do too. I'd still like to catch up to that one. Django was nominated for Best Picture. Les Miserables was nominated for Best Picture.
Whatever.
I loved it.
Whatever.
I love that show. I've been in that show.
I
think it's a great musical.
Whatever.
And I disagree with everyone who complained about Russell Crowe. I don't really like Russell Crowe. I thought he did fine.
I remember us talking about this.
Yeah, did we?
Well, at some point.
All right. It was good. Anne Hathaway, who I hate her.
Yeah,
still deserved the Oscar.
Not crazy about her.
She did great. She did a great job. Life of Pi was nominated. I didn't see that either.
Oh, the tiger and the
boat. I didn't catch up to that one. I remember reading the book.
I saw parts of it. I wasn't into it.
Yeah, Lincoln was that year.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Oh yeah, it was good.
Silver Linings Playbook. I was not on board with.
It was really good for the first 30 or 40 minutes.
And then
it
we're
turned
gonna cure
into
our insanity with a dance competition.
Yeah, it got really bad.
What?
Like, it got into like Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
the really first 30-40 minutes with his dad, with Robert De Niro. It was like, this is good. This
Old
is a good
was great.
Drama.
Jennifer Lawrence was great. Bradley Cooper was
then
great.
Then it got really corny.
And then
when they turned it into Dirty Dancing, it got really corny. I mean, let's be honest. It was they're trying to be Dirty Dancing.
Yeah,
it was kind of like this.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
And Zero Dark Thirty was nominated. That was pretty good. That's what I gave number one to that year. Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah. I thought it was great. I'm just scrolling through to see what else came out that year that's worth mentioning. Oh, Flight came out in 2012.
Whatever.
A slightly better version of Sully. The Master, that was great. With Joaquin and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You know, I started that movie twice and haven't finished it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Well, I got to get into it.
Yeah, that's
it's one of those things where I know it's long. So, like, I would try to get into it, and I'm like, man, I'm tired.
No, that might be Philip Seymour Hoffman's best
performance. Wow, okay. I've really got to get into it.
And, you know, there was some other stuff. I'm just looking through to see what else happened.
Do you want to rate Sully? We've been talking too long.
Yeah, we can rate Sully and go birds.
Birds.
Man, like you said, there's...
Just say it.
There's... Look, there are Ladies Who Lunch, and
that's an actual club, I think.
The flip side of Ladies Who Lunch is boring grandpas. Like, if you got a grandpa who doesn't swear, who doesn't hang around the VFW, who like sits around and doesn't even watch the History Channel, like sits around and watches game shows.
Okay, for a second,
he's going to be.
You're explaining my father-in-law, but he watches a lot of History Channel.
Right?
So.
No, I don't mean not that.
No, he's a legit guy.
That guy is going to be all about Sully. The rest of us, I give it a. Man, I'm really mad about the 9/11 thing when I figured out when this movie is coming out. The performances are good. 4. I'm giving it a 4.
I'll just give it a 5 because it was full of great actors.
Some nice shots, I guess.
Sure.
Half an hour in the middle there is good.
Sure.
Birds.
Birds.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.